In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. Catholic Toolbox. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here on this exclusive Facebook Live radio show. I think we're live here. We're live here for everybody as we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world today. We're joined this week by a special guest from Manila, the Philippines, Tito Frank Pandilla. Welcome. Kumusta po kayo?
Mabuti. I'm glad to be here and with all of your listeners.
Thank you very much for being with us tonight. We have our co-host tonight, Akita Sanchez. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me again.
Welcome. Excellent. So we have everybody here live. We're here on Facebook Live. And we're basically going to be speaking tonight about the topic of the Live, Share, Christ. So live. So I believe it's actually the Live Christ, Share Christ movement. I always shorten it here. We love shortening things here in Australia. Live, Share Christ. So I basically broke it up. So it's the Live Christ, Share Christ movement. So welcome, Frank Pandilla. Frank Pandilla is the founder of Couples for Christ and is a renowned speaker and is the author of the Live, Share Christ movement, second edition here. Also 24/7 for Jesus is another of his excellent work, which is renowned worldwide, and also Renewing the Faith of the Earth. That's another one. It's available in bookstores worldwide, and he is a renowned speaker, so we are very fond to have him tonight. So the topic is the very foundation. I mean, here in our parish at Parramatta, we've adopted the Live Christ, Share Christ movement as one of our formation programs. And it's very important. I think we really wanted to get to the heart of what inspired you. How did you come about founding this movement? How did you, what was the origins? Was there a particular point? What was the whole story behind it?
In 10 years ago, in 2010, our spiritual director, Father Francis Gustilo, and myself, we were just having our usual discussion. And then we got to talking about that in 2021, which already next year, the Philippines is celebrating 500 years of Christianity. Wow. And so we were talking about that and saying, what are the preparations? This is such a milestone. This is such a great jubilee. And what is happening? What are the preparations? And we saw that there was none. So we talked about it and we made a proposal to our bishops. And we had actually two meetings with them. It came from our experience of Couples for Christ, Couples for Christ Foundation for Family and Life. And
what is Couples for Christ? For those who don't actually know what Couples for Christ is, I mean, it's a worldwide Filipino movement. Even I've actually witnessed it by Filipinos who aren't even Catholic, who are Protestants. They even have something called Couples for Christ, CFC, YFC, KFC. I mean, KFC. I mean, there you go. That's my favorite one. But it's not fried chicken. It's a Kids for Christ. But what is CFC? What are these movements, Tito? If you can actually explain in detail for those who don't know or not familiar with those Filipino groups that have been organized worldwide.
Well, CFC started in 1981. It's just a ministry for married couples. That's why it's named Couples for Christ.
Couples for Christ.
But 12 years later, we brought in the rest of the family, so we had something for kids, for youth, for singles, for we call them handmaids and servants, though who did not fit in any of those categories. So that's Couples for Christ, and that is a recognized lay ecclesial movement of the Holy See. You know? You know, as with many different congregations that we have in the church, we also had our great challenges. So in 2007, there was a split into two. And even
like
just
schism, like a big schism, you know, like the schism of 1054, possibly.
Well, it's what has happened with the Franciscans, with the Dominicans, with practically all the different religious congregations. You know, the work gets so large that at times it's a good thing, because people come in, they have many different ideas, they have many different directions, and at some point there are tensions within the body. So rather than always fighting about these things, at times it might be the Lord's will for you to go your separate ways and then grow your particular mission once again.
Exactly. And moving on from there, let's now focus a little bit on what Live Christ, Share Christ is actually about. So that was founded by yourself. And what exactly is it? Tell us a bit about it, and what inspired you to really bring this to life? Because it seems like it's really helping a lot of people in the parish life. And I quite hear from your book, and we'll just go to the Live, Share, Christ movement. You say the Live, Share, Christ movement, LCSC movement, is a lay response to the call to the new evangelization. It is a movement for evangelization and renewal that is based in the parish. It is a work by far for, in, and on behalf of the parish. It is a basic goal is to bring Catholics back to God and back to the church. Its mission is for every Catholic to meet Christ, to live Christ, and to share Christ. It is mainly intended for nominal, cultural, and non-practicing or lapsed Catholics. Now, this is a big problem in the church today. 8% of Catholics go to Mass. But we can say that 92% of those Catholics who don't even go to Mass are absolutely lapsed. Sure. And 70% of which...
That's in Australia. So
that's in Australia,
The numbers might be different in the Philippines as well. But
the Philippines, it's probably much higher. Yep. So,
well, in the Philippines... In the Philippines, the figure that we use, you might be surprised, Akita, because you know that we are a Catholic country, very much religiosity that is on. The churches are very packed with 4 or 5 masses every weekend, but we use a figure of 18%. Regular church attendance. Wow. Regular church attendance. That means week in and week out, you're in church. So there are many, many lapsed Catholics here in our country as well.
That's a really scary number.
That's a very scary number, actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a big part of the motivation, because of course we all know about the parable of the lost sheep. One lost sheep, and the man left the 99 and went in search of the one. And it's a parable on God's mercy. But you know, if it's the 99 actually in most parts of the world that are now lost.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't even have to dispute about church attendance. It might be 9, it might be 18. And sometimes I challenge our pastors,
prove us
and
wrong.
Saying,
I hope somebody can prove us wrong. But I mean, unfortunately, this is the reality. I mean, worldwide.
Yeah. And so even our pastors here, I say, even if you had 50% church attendance, how about 75? How about 95? No, 99 is not good enough, because the one is still lost. So we need to go and search in for those lost sheep and bring them back.
That's such a crazy number, Tito, just because, you know, you go to the Philippines and the churches are like, you have the same amount of churches as you do Jollibees, you know, just to compare numbers. And there's there's just so many around. But also I understand that there are a lot of different Protestant churches that have been popping up in recent years, which is the other scary part. And you know, when I like the past few times I've been in the Philippines, and we've had taxi drivers conversing with us saying that, oh, I dropped off because of a certain cardinal and I didn't like him or whatever. And people are just swayed so easily by like very minuscule little facts. And it's, to me, it just shows where it is kind of like their faith at, and where is the people's faith at in a place that's perceived as so Catholic.
Yeah.
So I think that is the scary factor there.
Well, the other sects and even the cults are very, very active. And so one thing we say in LCSC here in the Philippines, we are losing Catholics by the day. No?
That's so
And
true. Yeah.
one reason for that, George, Akita, is because we are waiting for the Catholics to come to church to participate. No? It's a church of maintenance. When what we need to do is to go out there, go to the grassroots at the peripheries where the Catholics are, especially the poor Catholics who, for one reason or another, are unable to come regularly to church and bring the gospel to them. No? Otherwise, it is the sects and the cults that are able to get them because they are on the ground and we are not.
Exactly. It's sort of like Tito, we've been sleeping for 50 years since the Second Vatican Council. I mean, it's sort of like after Vatican II popped up, and the cultural problem, which predominantly came from the West. I mean, this Western attitude of breaking down culture. I mean, usually came from the West, but it's been building up before the Second Vatican Council. And then after Vatican II, we saw a slow decline and a gradual decline afterwards, about 10 to 15 years after Vatican II. Churches dropped. It's sort of like religious orders threw everything out of the window. We stopped preaching about heaven and hell. We stopped preaching about purgatory. We stopped preaching about the truth of Jesus Christ and the gospel, and that the fact that we as Catholics need to be inside the Holy Mother Church that our Lord established, and not anywhere else, not doing it on our own. But we've been passive. I mean, from the leadership to the laity, and I emphasize the leadership. And I think in recent days we've seen with Archbishop Vigano, who's spoken about, unfortunately, problems in the leadership sometimes. This is what's caused the problem. I mean, and what's beautiful about the Live Christ, Share Christ movement is that you're attempting to practically regain these Catholics who are lapsed from the faith. And this is what we love about it. Absolutely.
And to try help bring back our church to being what Jesus established her to be. We are a missionary church. But that seems to be no longer happening. A church of maintenance, but the big irony of it is we are not maintaining our Catholics as we're losing them by the day. So
Why,
we need to
in
get
what
back
way,
to the basics. You know?
in what way are we not maintaining, do you think? Like, I mean, what have you idea? Let's identify a bit of the problem here so we can find a practical solution. In what way are we not maintaining our, have we not, in fact, what are some examples?
Well, of course, the basic reality that many more Catholics are no longer being seen in church, not participating in the fullness of life, especially the Eucharist and other sacraments as well, no? They simply are out there. They're being influenced by the culture of the age, no? They're not being taught really about the faith. Even in some of our Catholic schools, it's already been invaded. You have in well-known Catholic institutions here in the country, you have gay and lesbian clubs, and we've talked to the administrations about it, and they kind of like throw up their hands. And we ask, is the bishop saying anything? We talk to the bishop,
That's a big problem.
So this is the problem. This the fullness of Catholic life is not being our Catholics are not being formed and supported so that they live actually the fullness of their faith.
Yeah, and when I do go over there, it's very visible to me that the people just go purely as a cultural thing, as oh, I'm going to go because my grandmother, I have to take my grandmother to church, and that's why they go to church. They don't go to church because they want to see Jesus, in that in at mass. They are there to support their grandmother who can't walk, or, you know, I hope I'm wrong as well, but you know, for some people, they're just there. Like, I remember going to mass there, and maybe this girl was hopefully becoming Catholic, but she was drinking her coffee in the middle of the homily, and I was like, I really just hope that you're not good. Like, I asked her, are you going to be receiving communion, just because, you know, you're supposed to be fasting before? And she said no, and I was scared that I scared her off. But, you know, we have to be part of this church that, you know, honors the Lord. We don't just go there to because our families told us to, or because that's been our culture for 500 years, you know. So
yeah. So what do you, so let's go into the actual movement itself. So what's the aim of the movement, and what's the program of the movement that you founded?
So the aim is for every Catholic to meet Christ, to live Christ, and to share Christ. You know? Because many Catholics today are nominal, are cultural, are lapsed, are not living out the fullness of their faith, no longer go to Mass. Some of them that go to Mass, as Akita pointed out, are irreverent. So there are many so-called Catholics among us who are actually just baptized pagans. No? So we want to start over. No, we don't presume, because you're Catholics, precisely, they don't go to church anymore. So you need to start over. So our lapsed Catholics today, they need to meet Christ once again, and to be introduced to Christ, to know the Lord, and hopefully for a personal relationship with the Lord to develop. And once that happens, then we want to teach them about living Christ. Living Christ is not just being a good person. It is a call to holiness. It is a call to discipleship. No? And then when you're already starting to live Christ, it doesn't end there. Because you cannot just keep receiving. You need to give. And our church is a missionary church. So they also learn to share Christ, you know, by being witnesses in their normal day-to-day circumstances. You don't have to be a missionary that goes off to some far-off place.
Exactly.
But with your family, with your friends, with your coworkers at the office, but you live Christ, you live out the faith, you hopefully are able to give a holy witness. And some way, somehow, the Lord gives you an opportunity and you share about this Christ, so that they will be interested enough that they can be invited to a program that can now begin the process of their meeting Christ. Meet Christ, live Christ, and share Christ. That's the basic intent of a Live Christ, Share Christ mission. Of course, there's another way, George, Akita, of putting it. It is mainstreaming Catholic lay evangelization. Because again, first of all, evangelization ought to be the central part of our faith. And again, our church is a missionary church, but many times this is no longer happening. We have a lot of services, we have a lot of ministries, we have a lot to offer. There's a feast actually on the table in our churches, but people are not there to partake of the feast. They don't know there's a feast. And they're just going about their way, being stolen by the sects and the cults, and being influenced by the culture of the world. So they need to be re-evangelized. We need to go out to them and bring them to the mainstream of the church. And this has to be a core part of the direction of the church, to be very, very evangelistic. That's why we want to bring this Live Christ, Share Christ mission to the parishes. We try to help equip parishes, because, you know, people talk about the new evangelization and they hear from our bishops, this is what needs to happen, there needs to be renewal, and all of that is good. But then you come away from a congress, you're inspired, and then you ask, what do I do? What is step number one, step number two, step number three?
Practical solutions.
So Live Christ, Share Christ will provide all of the how-tos
that
are needed in order to get this process going.
I think we've really synced tonight, because if you heard tonight, the Catholic Toolbox here, we are proclaiming to be part of the movement of the art of practical Catholicism. Here we find practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world today on this radio show, podcast, and our speaking events that we run. We're in sync tonight, because found another way to practically apply the Catholic faith and find solutions through Live Christ, Share Christ movement. And that's amazing what you've actually established. I mean, this is what we need. I mean, people who are strategizing practically about how to take action. Because the problem in the church today, and this is what I've observed, Tito, is that we go, we create seminars, talks, we go to World Youth Day, we go to all these things, we get pumped up, we get excited, we get on fire. I don't know, everything's about being on fire these days. I mean, fire, flame, you know, everything, whatever they call it. We're doing arsonism. We're like arsonists. But anyway, fire. Then when we actually come to, okay, put it into action, we don't know what to do. All right, how do we re-evangelize? Oh, great, we need to proclaim the gospel. Our Lord Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 to 23 called us to go and evangelize and spread the gospel. But how do we actually do it? We got to sit down and form practical strategies. And this is what you've done, Tito, is find a practical strategy that can be applied to our day-to-day life and that we can actually draw back people. Because it's easy to say we got to re-evangelize people, but then how do you actually do it? Like, what do we do? And I think sometimes the church, we go into these planning phases. You know, we always hear about planning, but we don't hear about how to do it. And sometimes there's an agenda. Sometimes they legitimately don't know what to do. And this is great that we sit down, we dissect the gospel here in the Catholic Toolbox and what the Live Christ, Share Christ movement is actually doing. And we find practical ways to bring people to Christ. Because the reason why we're behind, unfortunately, in the church is because, I believe, is because we haven't been strategizing practically about what to do to take action with our culture, where the sects, the cults, and the culture, especially in Western civilization, is actively working day and night. We're sitting down as a church, you know, let's be prudent, let's be mature, let's be this. I mean, we're not being active enough, and we need to take action. This is why I really enjoy the sessions of the Live Christ, Share Christ in our parish. And I've really seen some great value in this. And let's talk about how you're actually spreading it worldwide, and at what rate is this moving?
There are two thrusts of Live Christ, Share Christ. The main thrust is for the parishes, because we want to engage the parish. Jesus had said that the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Where there are many laborers that are already in the parishes, but they need to be reoriented. They need to be brought back to the core mission of the church, and then to be empowered, given the how-tos. So we want to go to the parishes, and obviously the whole world, there are parishes throughout the whole world. So if this can be accepted in more and more in the parishes, then it can really blossom. But this is also brought to non-parish settings. So we have what we actually call publics. The publics would be any setting that is not the parish. So you're talking of schools, of corporations, of hospitals, of prisons, of military camps, and all of these other aspects. At times, it's easier to bring them there because you just talk with the administrator and they don't have anything as far as spiritual works are concerned. So they say, that's a good thing. It can be helpful to our people. So please come in.
Yeah.
With the parishes, it's a little bit more challenging because you have many, many movements. You have many ministries. You have many different ways of doing things. The pastor has his own idea. And people at times are conflicting as to how to move forward. And then the parish is very busy. You have to find your slots if you want to make use of the parish also. It can be more challenging.
Yeah.
So we do a two-pronged approach. And we have actually brought LCSC, Live Christ, Share Christ, to many of these so-called publics. But the thrust to bring them into the parishes is also really ongoing, because we want to help our church to become the missionary church that God created for her to be. That's her mission. That's her life. That's her reason for being.
Exactly. Look, and I think it's very important, I mean, that we renew ourselves during this time, because the past 50, 60 years, I mean, with the crazy 60s and 70s, I mean, there's been a cultural upheaval. I mean, it was building up before, let's say in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and it was building up, and it slowly came out with the Cultural Revolution. I mean, a lot of it came from the West. Now, I think the Western culture sometimes, and the secular world that came from there, sometimes influences, I mean, different countries around the world. And can we talk a little bit about that?
Actually, it's such a great influence. And great, I say that negatively. But it has turned everything topsy-turvy today. And even the truth. You know, Pilate asked Jesus, what is the truth? I think many people need to also ask that. What is the truth? People no longer know what is true. And what is good has become bad. What is bad has become good. And things have been turned topsy-turvy. And much of the world, including elements within the church, have accepted the culture of the age, become very liberal, become very leftist, even socialistic. And wow, you know, yeah, it's a totally different situation now. I should say, George, just in the last half century, you know, it only truly came on the scene, out in the surface, perhaps in the last decade. And part of this is because of social media. But we didn't know that many of these things were going on, even within our church. And a lot of the rot that was there in society, and all the diabolical works of the enemy being done in secret, in the darkness. But now they feel confident enough that they've come out of the darkness and are aggressively pursuing their agenda. And unfortunately, we've been caught unprepared. We have not strengthened our Catholic foundations, you know, our schools. Some people in the U.S., they say the best way for your child to lose his or her faith is to send him or her to a Catholic school.
That is absolutely...
And I can believe it. It's a terrible situation. I
mean, story here. Very similar story in Australia.
I mean, it seems to me, yeah, the statistics, I mean, show that... I mean, very clearly, I mean, that Catholic education, we're not putting fingers at anyone or any kind of institution. This is just a generalistic idea. But yeah, Catholic education is very important. I mean, we talked about leadership Christ in the parish. Now, the three spheres of formation are the parish. Firstly, let's start with the family. Then you have the parish. Then you have the school. That's the three-legged stool on which the faith of each individual in his community grows in. The parents are the primary educators. Unfortunately, for the past five decades or six decades, we haven't been practicing the faith. And we have generations of lapsed Catholics, lapsed parents, lapsed grandparents, bringing the faith. And you can't expect much from them. We can't go into people's homes. We can't walk into people's homes and tell them, come back to church. We don't have access to them in an apostolic way, in an evangelical way. We don't have access to them. And the second is the parish. I mean, the parish is 8% or 18% of Catholics in Manila, 8% of Catholics here in Australia. It's about 8 to 10%. The US, it's no different. We can only work with who come to the parish. And then the third is the education system. I mean, where we, in the education, we have so many students that go through the education and graduate out of there at such a fast rate. And if we had good, solid Catholic programs, if we had solid Catholic programs, great speakers, and we formed them spiritually, catechetically, such a fast rate, we'd be graduating more and more people who practice the faith. I mean, this is the obvious solution, the elephant in the middle of the room to the new evangelization, the parishes and the education system. And if we don't harness those two things, in the next 5 years as a church, we're going to be obliterated even more and more. As our influence, we're the light of the world. We're the only hope the world has. And if we don't get our act together, from leaders, from the top, to the bottom as the laity, it's not just the hierarchy's responsibility, it's also the laity. And it's most especially today's age, the laity, because it's us who will be in the world. And as St. Jose Maria Escrivá calls us, in the spirit of Opus Dei, in the spirit of the work of St. Jose Maria, to be apostles in the world and to sanctify work and find holiness where we are and transform it and start to engage people on a friendship level in our ordinary circumstances. But we're talking about tonight predominantly the parish. how we can form the parish through this program. And it's a terrific program. I recommend you, everybody, check it out. But Tito, let's go into speaking about the solutions. I mean, here on the Catholic Toolbox, we like to find three practical solutions or practical tools on the Catholic Toolbox to equip us. Not ideas. I mean, as many meetings and we brainstorm enough as a church. Now it's time to talk about action, because the action is the harder part in terms of living your faith, in terms of in evangelization, sharing your faith. Here in the share component of the Live Christ, Share Christ, it's hard to live your faith, taking action. It's hard to also share your faith. What can we do? What are three practical tips, tools that you can give us in order to take action using your program and in general?
Well, yeah, there are many ways to approach that. But if I think of three important and critical aspects that need to happen in the life of most Catholics today, no? First of all, one has to realize that one is called to a life of holiness. You know, holiness is not talked about in the church. People don't have an idea what it means to be holy. Sure, you have commandments, do this, don't do that. But to really enter more deeply into a life in Christ, be a disciple, Jesus himself defined discipleship. There are three things that you need to do. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. How many Catholics today really understand what that means? Many do not. Many have not even probably read that scripture verse, or they heard about it, but it doesn't register in their minds. So how can you be a person who really knows Christ and start to live Christ? You need to look to your own spirituality. You need to grow in that spirituality. So that's the first thing. But secondly, because this is a totally different world that we live in, and you mentioned, George, the three institutions that are important, the family, the parish, and the school, we are losing grounds in all three. No? And the enemy is rampaging forward. So the second thing that I would say, we also need to be informed. We need to be educated. What really is going on? You know? When you hear much talk about LGBT, if you don't know how to react to that, if you don't have a position on that, if you take the politically correct position of saying, well, just accept them, just embrace them, just walk along with them, and of course we will do all of that. But if you don't talk about the sin, then that's actually false mercy. But we need to be educated. What is happening? Because again, the truth has been overturned. What is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. So we need to educate ourselves in all of these matters. And then I guess thirdly, it's exactly what we're talking about. Take something very, very practical like the Live Christ, Share Christ mission. And if you, in your own mind and heart, think that this might be helpful to my parish or even to my school or to the other institution where you are, then we're willing to help you get started. And we provide you with all of the practical programs that you need in order to get that going.
Yeah, because you say here LCSC intends to do a rapid and massive evangelization basically and through the parishes. I mean, parishes are essential. I mean, look, we have limited access to the education system because, look, there's a big, there's a lot of work to be done there, but the parishes are a great place to start in taking action. I mean, it's the people who at least come that would to Mass on Sunday, and maybe they come, I call them 59 Catholics. They come to Mass for 59 minutes a week, and that's it. They have no reinvigoration. We're not here to point fingers. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, sometimes I've been a 59 Catholic, but we want to help these people who don't have a living relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ to come closer to him. And by engaging people in the parish to come to this program, and a big shout out to Michael and Marietta, who do a great job in our parish here at the cathedral. And we've implemented Live Christ, Share Christ, and we've engaged a lot of parishioners who have not been catechized by no fault of their own, because the family and the education system were not functioning the legs of the family and the educated didn't function well in their lives in catechizing and bringing them to Christ, but they kept going to Mass. So it was our job within the context of the parish that we engaged them and sort of brought their faith back to life in engaging them through this program. So it's important that, you know, we already have those faithful who come to Mass on Sunday through habit. We already have engaged them. There's some grace there. God's already working. It's an easy grab for us. They're easy fish to bring them to, let's say, the program, invite them, being pastoral. I mean, we talk about being pastoral these days. I don't know if that word gets thrown around much in the Philippines, but we always talk about being pastoral. I mean, how pastoral is it to engage people to come and learn the Catholic faith? I mean, and it's tremendous. We've seen great results. I mean, in it, some people, handfuls of people, at least that I know of, and many other people, have come and learnt their faith. And
I want to be a pastor is to be a shepherd.
I mean, and let's talk about church leadership today. I mean, church leadership, for the what would you recommend practically for the hierarchy of the church? The Pope to the bishops and our priests. What practical advice can you give them so that we can help them practically to not fall prey to the enemy who seeks to destroy them? As our Lord said to Peter, Satan seeks to destroy you. And we have to, I mean, it's a serious, the enemy of our souls is working hard to attack the priesthood. And we've seen for the past 50 years, and we've seen since the Second Vatican Council, unfortunately, due to the cultural upheaval, that church at times, different areas, has been affected. What practical advice can you give as a layman, as somebody who's founded this movement? It's had some great success so far, especially here in Australia. What can you give to our priests, from the Pope to the bishops and to the priests? What advice can you give them? Because surely, in the spirit of humility, they can learn from the laity, and it's our job. And you, as a layman, have done well in doing this. And how? What advice can you give them?
Well, basically, though we don't have that much of a clout when it comes to the hierarchy, but depending on our relationship with them, if we know them well, if we are friends with them, the most basic advice is be holy. Everyone is called to be holy, but much more you and an alter Christus. Be holy as God is holy. That is the right way for a Christian to be. That is the right way for you to be. Don't play along with the culture of the age. Don't give in to those in your parish that are for LGBT. Now, I know that's very more easily said than done, and many of them succumb to the pressure, and many of them are afraid. But I guess that is the most basic thing that I would say to affirm them in their calling. You have a very, very special calling, and you have already dedicated your life to God. I admire you. You have forgone marriage and making money in the world, but this is your calling, and the only way you can live out that calling is to strive for holiness as God is holy. And so that is so very, very crucial. No? And then we say, I would support you, Father, Pastor, in our parish where there might be other points of view, and those that promote the culture of death have already come in, and they are trying to normalize homosexuality, irregular unions, and these kinds of things. But we need to let them know that there are Catholics like us that support them, and we will be with them, and we will speak out with them as well, in order that we might have the right environment in our communities. By the way, George, I just want to say very quickly, you're mentioning the laity. LCSC is also about lay empowerment, because this is a neglected area. We've always looked to the priests and to the religious. And the laity, as far as their involvement, well, you have some services in the parish, in the choir, lay minister. And then what is told us, our basic duty is to animate the temporal order. No? So if you're in government, you're in business, you're in society, you live out your Christianity, and of course that's the right thing. But we lay people need to be directly there, right there, at the very heart and mission of our church. And by virtue of baptism, we have the dignity of taking on the very ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are priest, prophet, and king. And so no matter what is happening with in our parish or with the priests, and people might be disappointed with them, we look to God's call to us and to take our rightful place. You know? And lay empowerment is so very, very crucial, especially when you think that we make up 99.9%+ of the church. They're the workers right there. So we continue with that. That's why we say LCSC actually is a lay movement. You know? It's a movement for lay empowerment. You know?
Exactly. I mean, I think these... And San Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, really saw well. He Akira and I are very close to the spirituality of San Jose Maria, and he saw that prophetically that the world would become busy, industrious, it'd be less clerically centered, and it's time for the laity. I mean, the priesthood is obviously in the hierarchy are instituted by our Lord, and they remain there, but the social influence of the laity, as opposed to the clergy, I mean, you don't see priests anymore on television. You don't see any more.
Sadly, no.
You don't see any more priests on television.
I miss, you know, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and unfortunately, he's not around anymore. So you can't really listen to him. But you know, sometimes we there's EWTN, which you can access here in Australia, CREM Radio, as well as Voice of Charity Australia,
which is Australia's only Catholic frequency Catholic radio, and we feature here on Voice of Charity Australia Live.
Yeah, but most of the time you hear about the Catholic Church and the mainstream media is if something wrong has happened, which is sad.
It just goes to really show that they're just really agenda driven. I mean, it's like they never talk about the church in a positive way because they have an agenda. I mean, you look at the disgraceful way in which His Eminence Cardinal George Pell was treated. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. I mean, the way he was treated. I mean, and the High Court of Australia... It had to go to the High Court of Australia to deliver that a man could not have been in a sacristy after a high mass on a Sunday in a metropolitan cathedral. Now, I'm from a minor cathedral, and we know that you can never, it's logistically impossible. And the utter sloppiness of the investigation is just absolutely laughable. I mean, it just goes to show how much there are great agendas against the Catholic faith. And there always have been. It's not a new thing. Since our Lord, there was an agenda to get our Lord. And that's why he was crucified. There was an agenda there. There was a social agenda against the truth, and there always has been. But the difference is, I believe on a large scale as a church, we're not prepared for the battle as we were 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, 100 years ago. Or we have never, we don't have society on our side. We don't have Charlemagne anymore. We don't have Catholic presidents, monarchs, prime ministers who still at least on a social level uphold the teaching of the church for the salvation of souls.
I'm curious as to how many modern kings can become saints like they used to become.
I mean, there were several several kings. I mean, several kings, as we know through history, several kings who were actually saints. I mean, can you imagine the last time a president or a politician, I mean, especially in the Philippines, I mean, and even Australia here on the United States, I mean, was a saint, declared a saint? I mean, it's really, really funny.
The agenda of the evil one, the enemy, if you can credit him with something, is that he knows what he wants to do. He is insistent. He is persistent. He never lets up. He's 24/7 doing his diabolical work. At the end of the day, the intent is to destroy faith, because it is faith that makes you stand up against all the other wrong things that are happening in the world. And then when you talk of destroying faith, at the end of the day, it is destroying the Catholic Church, because it is the one true faith. It is the one true church, the only one established by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, we're in really for a big, big fight. And unfortunately, as we are seeing, we're not prepared.
Why do you think, what's the underlying problem why we're not prepared? And whose fault is it? Which way do we point?
The fault lies with the pastors with a hierarchy, you know, including those that run, well, when I say hierarchy, those in authority, including those that run Catholic schools. They are no longer really being taught the faith. You know? Our Catholics today do not know the faith, the authentic faith, the fullness of the faith. You know? And again, what has become with many parishes today, it's been a church of maintenance, and it presents a lot of good things that are there, and we can really partake the sacraments and everything else that's being offered. But people are not being renewed in their faith. They no longer understand what does it really mean to be a Christian, much less to be a Catholic. Of course, if you're out in school, and then even in your own home, your parents also don't know the authentic faith, and they're actually relying on the Catholic school to help their children out, then that doesn't work. And you have that for a couple of decades, and that is what has really contributed to the rot that we are seeing today.
Yeah, and you know, Pope Benedict XVI did say at some stage that what may happen to the church in the future is that it's purified, and so the numbers may become smaller, but we become stronger as a community. And you know, with some of the people that I know in my circles, I'm seeing, like, you know, I'm friends with a lot of parents who are very young, and they have young families, and they married, and they've got a lovely family, and a lot of them are planning to avoid the Catholic school system entirely and just homeschool their children.
Yeah, not pointing any fingers at any institution. I mean, we're just speaking in general.
No, not at all. But that's the general trend that I am seeing in a variety of communities that I'm part of. So, you know, and if people, and these people don't necessarily talk to each other, they probably should, because they could probably ban their resources. But that's what I'm seeing. We're not even just going to this Catholic school system anymore. We're avoiding it. And I mean, with a COVID pandemic, going to church is it's optional now. Like, the Diocese of Parramatta has just said, yeah, look, we can only fit 50 in the church.
Numerous dioceses across Australia have made it optional at the moment.
Yeah. Which is, I don't know, like, to be honest, I'm not surprised, but at the same time, I wish that wasn't the case. But I do understand that it is for the safety of people at home. So
Actually, Kita, even if you talk of homeschooling today, which is a very, very good option, there are many governments and states that are banning, making it illegal. Why? Because they no longer have control of children. Their ideology is brought to them when they are young, when they are in schools, and so they don't like homeschooling. They want to be able to indoctrinate.
Exactly.
And really,
spot on, Vito.
Yeah.
Spot on, Po.
and just allow them to grow on that relativity scale more than that they want. So taking them home doesn't allow them to, you know, make their own truth. Be fair. And you know, really, with what's happening with the world right now, it's scary, but at the same time, there's an agenda. And if you're smart enough, I think you'll be able to see what that is. And maybe even part of that agenda is to wipe out the Catholic faith.
And what's actually scary is that a lot of the time it comes from within the church. And I'm not going to elaborate too much, but within, I mean, Pope Benedict saw that there is, and Cardinal Sara said that, you know, due to the lack of leadership, that's very much why the faith is actually dying. I mean, and the leadership doesn't have to come just from the hierarchy. It comes from the laity. We have to be active. When we become passive as laity and think, oh, well, our voice can't be heard by the chancery, our voice can't be heard by the Pope, our voice can't be heard by society, and we need to wait for our pastors to do the work for them, that's where we fall into error. We as the laity, through church history, when bishops have, let's say, fallen into heresy, let's say in the early church, let's say around the Council of Nicaea, many bishops fell into the heresy of Arianism. The laity stood up and defended the faith, and that's what preserved the bishops and the faith. I mean, we have to understand that. It's very important. I mean, for us as laity to become passive and rely on the leadership of the hierarchy, but it's not their job. Their job in terms of the priesthood, and they can lead. And there are some failures in their areas, but we have to stand up. The sense of the faith, or the sensum fidelium, is very important, that we as the faithful carry on the teaching of the church. And where sometimes our brethren, even the hierarchy, make mistakes, we need to express our views and we need to show them. And it's very important there.
So my question is, you know, you've purified your leaders, you purified your church. How do you change the ladies' attitude from being passive to become passionate into that historical, very passionate, defending our faith? We're going to die for our faith. And it's evident there's more martyrs back in the day than there is now. So what's your practical solution for that?
Many lay Catholics are the way that they are because, again, they do not have really that intimate relationship with our Lord. They know about Christ. They've certainly heard about Christ. They are Christians. They're living it in a number of different ways. But there is not that intimacy. Because with that intimacy, you really want to know, love, and serve your God. You want to do anything and everything that is right. You want to please Christ. If this is Jesus whom I sent to the cross because of my sins and he died for me, what a God I have. I really love this God. I really want to please this God. And of course, as we learn more about the things that Jesus has taught, and we know, in fact, that his very final instructions, his marching orders, is to go and proclaim the gospel to all of creation, to make disciples of all the nations, then we ourselves, you know, would want to obey that. And we know that we're not just here to enjoy all the blessings that come from a loving and merciful God, but we're supposed to go out there to be used as his instruments, his workers, to bring in the harvest. And so we go out and we serve and we permeate through society. We, the lay people, are everywhere in society.
Absolutely.
And that's why our role is very, very important, but we need to be renewed ourselves.
That's absolutely amazing. And thank you so much for being with us tonight and giving us these three practical tools. I mean, salamat po, as they say in the Filipino. if you enjoy listening, go on.
Sorry, I just wanted to point out, you know, we started by talking about Live Christ, Share Christ and how it was founded. I just wanted to share really something really cool. But you mentioned Father Francis Castillo. Well, he actually married my parents and he baptized me. So small world.
There you go. Small world.
Wow. Praise be to God. Yeah.
Praise be to God. Thank you very much. If you enjoy listening to The Catholic Toolbox, why not consider emailing us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com to book your next speaking event or consultation. If you like any Catholic Toolbox gear or merchandise, you can support us in our online store at spreadshirt.com/thecatholictoolbox. And be sure to check out Christ, Share Christ. Is there a website, Tito, that people can go and visit in order to learn more and start to implement this?
Yes, we have all the social media accounts.
Exactly. So Live Christ, Share Christ, straightforward. And for those here in the Parramatta area and around Sydney area, Father Chris De Rosario at 7:30 to 9 p.m. For this final formation. Which is this coming Friday. This coming Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. there'll be the final formation by Father Christopher Del Rosario here in St. Patrick's Cathedral, Parramatta. So be sure to subscribe and download the Catholic Toolbox podcast. Thank you for tuning in to The Art of Practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa, and co-host, Akita Sanchez. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Shatita Frank, for joining us all the way from Manila. You know, big commute, obviously, and we really appreciate your time.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Until next week.
Thank you. Thank you.
Until next week.
I appreciate
week.
Your having me. God bless you and your apostolate.
In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.